So let's start with a little chizuk, a little musar. We've been saying since Rosh Chodesh, the minhag of saying L'David Hashem Ori, we say it twice every day. And of course, the most famous part of this very famous chapter of Tehillim is where we say, Acha shualti meis Hashem osa avakesh, right? There's just one thing, Hashem, that I ask of you. Shivti meis Hashem, ko yimei chayai, lachsos b'nam Hashem, ulevakir b'heichalo. Now, the problem, if you're sensitive to language, is pretty obvious, which is that in that one sentence, we tell Hashem we want to ask for one thing, and then how many things do we actually ask for? I think three just in that pasuk, and then the Tehillim continue. And there's lots of things we ask for. We don't just ask for one thing. We ask for lots of things. You ever think about that? Does that ever bother you?
We get ourselves in the door.
Right, so we're just tricking Hashem, right? It's like a teenager. Just one thing, okay, and another thing, and another thing. Okay, anything's possible. Perhaps. So, the Medrash actually asks this question in a shocking way. The Medrash tells us, obviously somewhat in a parable, I guess you could say. It's hard to believe this was literal, but nevertheless, it's very instructive. Says the Medrash that the Ribono Shel Olam says to David HaMelech, say what you mean, and mean what you say. You have a lot of things to ask for, so just tell me, God, I have a few things I need to ask for. And if you only have one thing, then say only one thing. But don't try to trick me. Don't play these, you know, teenager high school games. Right? Don't say, I only have one thing to ask for, and then ask for lots of things. But then the Medrash gets awesome. And the Medrash says, as it were, that David HaMelech stares down HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Mimcha Lamadati. Who do you think I learned this gimmick from? Who do you think I learned this move from? After all, not that long ago in Parshas Ekev, what do we read? Ma Hashem Elokecha Shalom Imach Ki'im. Right? There's only one thing. Pasuk continues. Liras Hashem. Right? We have to fear Hashem. But says the Medrash in the mouth of David, in the voice of David, is that really the only thing that you ask of us? And it gives numerous examples throughout the rest of Devarim, the beginning of Yoshua, V'gisavo Yomam V'layla, and that's just the end of Devarim and Yoshua. Is it really true that Hashem only asks of one thing? Says the David HaMelech, if it's good enough for the Rebbe, it's good enough for the Talmud. You said you're only asking of one thing of us, but really you ask for many? So I did the same thing. If it was good enough for you, I learned the moves from you. I learned it from the best. Ad kan the Medrash. Now this is what we like to call a Medrash Plia. This is a pretty astounding, shocking Medrash. What's going on here? I mean, didn't Hashem know this? I mean, we don't usually have, you know, Hashem being, you know, ranked out. What do you think the Chazal are trying to teach us? So, about 12, 13 years ago, I got a set of Svarim, which included various Perushim and all of Tehillim, and I saw the following beautiful, beautiful explanation in the name of one of the great contemporary Rosh Yeshiva from Yerushalayim, Rav Baruch Mordechai Ezrahi. Fantastic, fantastic Talmud Chacham, great speaker, great in Lomdus, great in Drush, really one of the great Rosh Yeshiva of the day. So Rav Ezrahi said as follows. So you have to understand we're making one mistake. What both the Tehillim and the Pasuk in Devarim are referring to is not one or a single numeric sense, but rather they're referring to the bare minimum. The minimum. How does that change everything? So he says, listen, this is what Hashem says. Hashem says, listen, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shalom Imach. What is it that I'm asking for? Ki'im. What's the bare minimum? If I had to just have the most minimal relationship with you, what's the bare minimum I could live with? So it's striking, that of all things, what's the bare minimum? What's ground zero? Yira Shamayim, right? Rabbi Terigin spoke about that last week in his Chug. Right, Yira Shamayim, right? Why is that so important? He spoke about it a little bit. Probably need about five shirim on Yira Shamayim. Not for now. But Hashem says, you know what? If I had to pick one, the bare minimum, it would be Yirah Shamayim. But then, as it were, says Rav Mizrachi, Hashem starts to think, really? Really? I could have a relationship with Am Yisrael just based on fear? Right? Every parent at some point, in their frustration with their children not listening, not doing what they're supposed to do, thinks, and probably in many cases, at some point expresses, you know, would you just listen to me? And they think to themselves, you know, how much better would it be if my children actually just, they just respected what I said because I'm the parent. Right? There's a certain level of awe, a certain level of reverence, of even a fear in some generic sense, some vague sense. On the other hand, if you ask any parent, after that moment of frustration, really, really? If I gave you a choice, your children would listen to everything you ever said. In fact, they'd anticipate anything you might ever say. But that entire relationship would be based on fear. Would you? I don't know a single parent that would. Because as much as we would like there to be an element of that, the idea of having in a relationship just based on that, not exactly what any parent would want. Not what their Ribono Shel Olam wants. He says, okay, well, just fear, just Yira, that wouldn't be enough. So I need Yira plus this. Not even that. And one by one, you end up getting to everything. But says Rav Mizrachi, and this is the key point, think about this and listen carefully. It's not that Hashem comes from the perspective of, I want everything. It's like, you know, your parents' friends come in a few weeks, you've been like starving on, you know, yeshiva diet, and all of a sudden they say, you know, come Shabbos lunch at David Citadel. You know, give me. You know, the buffet, right? Just you'll take everything. Right? A chazer, greedy. No, says Rav Mizrachi. It's much more profound than that. The bare minimum, Hashem just wants the minimum. It's just that he realizes that the minimum is everything. He can't imagine having anything less. Not because he's greedy. He wants just the minimum. But the bare minimum he can live with is a maximal relationship with us. So this is what David HaMelech says. This is what we mean every day. This is important to pay attention to what we're saying. Acha sho'alti me'eis Hashem osavakesh. Hashem, I'm not greedy. The bare minimum that I want. Shivti me'eis Hashem. Right, for a child, what's the bare minimum that we need? We need a home. Right, everyone needs a home, a place that they can call home. Right, someone wants to find home as, when you come there, they got to let you in. Right, everyone needs a home in this world. You can't just be wandering. So we say as to our parent, to Avinu Shebashamayim, the minimum, the bare minimum, just give me a home. But then we pause and we think about that for a second. Really? That's the only thing we want from our parents, is just that we should have a home, and I'll even throw in, you know, maybe laundry and a warm meal. You know, certain kids, especially when they get to like college or whatever, they seem to treat their parents like this. But that's obviously just a sign of self-absorption or immature, or both. Obviously, no child really would be happy if all he had was an address to call home, a place for the mail to go to, a place to do the laundry. No, we want a home that's filled with, well, not just Shifti, it's Hashem. And then all the other things in life. We want to have an emotional relationship with Hashem. We want to have an intellectual relationship. We want to have love. But again, says Rav Mizrachi, it's not that we're coming to Hashem saying, gimme, gimme, gimme. I want everything. That would be important. But this is actually much more profound and much more important. We're willing to live with the minimum. It's just that the more we think about it, the more we realize that the minimum is the maximum. The bare minimum that we can live with is actually the maximum. The minimum desired is actually the maximum possible. Not because we're greedy. On the contrary, we're willing to satisfy ourselves with just a little, the most minimal relationship with Hashem. It's just that once we think about it, we realize that the most minimum is actually everything, is the maximum. Now, if you think about this, this is really, I think, a striking insight into what ought to be our religious psychology, our mentality, Now, we don't always feel this way. That's why this is a tefillah. Right? We're not just saying it so matter-of-factly. Yeah, that's me, Acha Shoalti. Right? We're striving for something. That's why this time of year, when we're more spiritually focused, more inward focused, we think about what is the minimum that we can do in life? What is the minimum we can live with? And if we're really on our game, if we're really focused on what we should be, we realize that the minimum is the maximum. And I think this, again, every year, Mirtz Hashem, for the rest of your very long lives, this is something that you should come back to this time of year. It's always good to remind ourselves of the important things. However, I would suggest that this year in particular is especially, especially relevant to you. Because this is a, needless to say, a very important transition year for everybody. Again, not certain people are very mature and very spiritually ambitious in high school, and other people can sleep and waste away their year or years in yeshiva. So it's not an automatic thing, needless to say. Yet, I would say, broadly speaking, certainly was the case for me, even if you were a good kid in high school, but there's a certain more immature, more high school-esque way of looking at things, which is even the good kid who does everything. You're the kid who went to davening every day. Chas v'shalom, you would never not put on tefillin. You would never go into, some restaurant, but it's only dairy. Right? Those are maybe other kids that you knew in high school. No, you didn't do that, right? You did everything. You went to Minyan, you learned, you do all the good things. But often it's from a mentality of just wanting to get by with the minimum. Yeshiva, Elul and Yeshiva, and this year you get the powerful combination of both, is about a complete change of focus. It's not about just wanting to get by with as little as possible. It's about realizing that, in fact, the bare minimum is the maximum. It's that this is not just about all the do's and don'ts that seem to fill our lives. It's that those are meant to be anchors that create a relationship with Hashem, a relationship with Avinu Shebashamayim. And just like any parent-child relationship, if it's a healthy, loving relationship, both sides want nothing less than the most maximal, intense, loving relationship. So too, that's supposed to be our desire to have a relationship with Hashem. It's not just, well, I learned yesterday, or I clocked, right? It's like a punch to the clock. I did the hours. I did the things. Right? If it's a burden, taxes, right? Chas v'shalom, we wouldn't cheat on our taxes. But we have a certain tax mentality to Yiddishkeit, right? Just do the bare minimum. I'm not sure interested in paying any more. And if by accident I did, I expect a refund. Right? That's one way to go through life, and you could do all the mitzvos that way. But that's not Acha Shoalti. Acha Shoalti means I realize that it's not just about being yotze, checking the boxes. It's about having that intense, personal, loving relationship with Hashem. And that is an entire mind shift, an entire perspective shift. If we have that perspective, so then it's not just what can I do to check the box, it's how could I imagine living with anything less than the most fully engaged, involved relationship with Hashem. Just a thought for you to think about. Still have a few more weeks of Ladavid. Perhaps this will be a good insight for you and something that can help make the davening, and this particular part of davening, a little bit more meaningful. Any more questions before we get to the Gemara?